Hi everybody, I'm Trudy Dempsey and you're listening to Leader Horse to Water, the equine training and behaviour podcast. I'm still currently in my summer short area of podcasting, so these are much shorter, punchier answers to questions or things that have been rooting around in my brain for some time, and I'm just either offloading them on you or I am answering questions that you've posed to me. This time, I'm going to answer two really fantastic questions, and they come up quite a lot with people that I'm using clicker training with, especially people that I'm helping in very specific situations. So I'll tell you more in a moment. But just to say, these questions were posed by somebody on my Improve Your Positive Reinforcement training course, which runs regularly through time. So if you ever want to hop on and dig deeper into some of these concepts, please do. You can find those courses at understandhorses.com, or you can get in touch with me the usual ways. I'm all over social media, and Trudy@equine.training is my email if you want to get in touch, or my website www.equine.training. To the questions. Any of you who have been to my presentations over the last 2, maybe even 3 years will have experienced something that I do when I see frustration with horses that are trained using food, clicker training and food. Even not clicker training per se, but are just getting treats or rewards as. And don't come at me with your, that isn't, I don't mind if somebody is trying to do the best by their horse. I'm not worried whether it is R plus by every last letter of it. But that's a bit last time's summer short. This is this one, and I'm just going to answer this specific question. So when I do try and help people with anxiety around food, and particularly with male horses, but I do have it a lot with females, with mares too. It's not just the boys. But the boys have this thing where they drop their penises and they get quite uncomfortable around the food. And I'm not just saying that they drop. It's not just that. There's a sense of them being frustrated. So you might see those little behaviours creeping in at the end of a behaviour you've cued. The horse might perform that behaviour, and then you can see them getting a bit antsy about how am I getting my reinforcer, and they're getting a bit frustrated around the food. Of course, there are many reasons for that happening, but there is one way that I found that really helps lots of horses, and that is to dissociate the person carrying the food with the food. And the easiest way to do that is to take the food off the person. And that really makes a massive difference, and I've used that with many hundreds now of different partnerships in terms of training. And what happens is that we rejig the horse's thought process from it's the human who is the food to the human has all the cards in their hand of how I can get the food. So they start to look at you with different eyes. You're not just a food dispenser. You are some sort of miracle worker who, if they concentrate and do the things that you've asked of them, will lead them directly to the food. So one of the things I suggest is that people take their bag off and just put it at their feet. And instead of going straight to their bag with their hand after they've clicked, they bend down and get the food. It can do two things. One, it changes where the food's coming from. It starts to change the horse's opinion of who is the food and where is the food and who is the human in all of this. But also, it starts to help your mechanics. So mechanics are really important, and hand going to the bag early is often why some of this frustration has come in the first place. This is a very quick one, so I'm not delving into any of these. If you would like me to cover any of these and you feel they haven't been covered in previous podcasts, please drop me a line, shout me on social media, and I will happily cover these as separate topics. Now, when we take the food off us, we need to remember that changing that reinforcement routine, because that's what happens after the click, and I've talked about this before, after the click, we then have this whole separate behaviour. And very early on, we're told, pump the food in, pump it in quick, because otherwise the horse won't understand that the click means the food. But very quickly, we can then, what I call temporally tinker, so temporal tinkering, my expression, I don't think that I've got that from anywhere else. So that's what I refer to, playing around with that reinforcement loop. So we play with time in that area. Now, you can't just put a pot of food somewhere on the floor and think that your horse is going to ignore it. Because when we put buckets on the floor, we often use a bucket to encourage a horse to step forward. So we have to create that reinforcement routine from scratch. So that will literally mean maybe the first couple come from the bag, click and feed from your bag, and then you undo it while the horse is chewing and relax, and you drop that bag by your feet. And then you have to keep shaping that, keep making that expand. Because remember what happens if we don't shape behavior. If we don't shape behavior, we get what we got right early on forever. So we need to shape that behavior. Now, I start this with a new horse, a young horse or a new horse to positive reinforcement training. I start this way back at the beginning, always in protected contact, so that I can move away and go and get food, or I can bend down and get food. I might also wear a food bag so that I can also hand feed from the bag as well. It's all about, and this is the, if you can look up Guthrie's papers on this, it's all about trying to show the horse in as many possible ways as you can that you are just the instigator of the food, you are not the food. And I think it's a really important concept, and one that I'm teaching constantly. Before we can teach any other behaviours, I'm teaching people to be savvy with how they carry their food and how their horse understands what's happening with the food. So then we might move it to into the arena, away from proper protected contact. But I might still set up some poles that make it easy for the horse to understand, this is the station where we hang out and I bring the food to you. Of course, with any props, we've got to fade those ultimately. So those poles are only helpful as part of the process. Just like all you target holders, lose your targets. You know, you do not need to keep them forever. These props, poles, targets, anything else, are just there to help you start a behavior. And as soon as you have it, they need to be faded. So basically, a setup that would work for the questioner, as I know the background a little bit, is to maybe start in protected contact and build that up anyway. But then when you're in the arena, that you create something that makes it really obvious. This is where you stand and I come back to you with the food, and shape that process. So the food is on you, it's by your feet, then it's behind you. And you just build that up, build up the distance that you go to that food. It's not an overnight sensation of take the food off and go find it anywhere. You might have 5 feeding stations in a 20 by 40 arena. You might have 20 feeding stations. Those are just places you can go and get the food. They're not places the horse has to go to get the food. I mean, potentially I have used things like a mat for a horse to stand on, so that they know the behavior is standing on the mat. When I click and go walk, get the food, they're less likely to walk off. The other thing is to have the food behind the horse, so they're not fixating on it, they're not looking at it, and that you have a lot of time spent to the side and behind the horse, and click and walk back and get the food and feed it forwards. So there's so many different nuances in that shaping, and I can't go through every single one. That's why you engage me when you need some help, and you can do that online, or you can come along to one of my in-person setups anytime, and I will do this a lot. It's one of the things that works time and time again. And the person asking the question is already seeing less dropping. And honestly, I would say that done correctly, and then being no other background. Now, of course, remember, if your horse is in pain, I can't stress this enough, and I refer back to other earlier podcasts. I think it's probably back in episode 10 or something like that, that I talk about. You cannot train a horse with pain. You cannot train a horse who is having massive frustrations about being in a certain area because it's stressed. Any of those things could be adding to the dropping. So just be careful. that you're seeing the behaviour of dropping as anxiety about how to get the food, and it's not other things that are causing it. The last bit of this fantastic question was, won't it just come back when I'm wearing the food when I'm riding? Now, when I present this publicly as a talk, I mentioned that one of the ways that I found that taking the food off the person per se is really useful is that when we ride, I'm not going to say never, but I have seen horses when people get on and the dropping starts right at the mounting block because they're confused at the mounting block. But usually I was finding that when somebody rode, it was very clear. The turns were super clear. I can't watch the person because they're on my back. And we become clearer. We hold the reins, we click and we lean to our bag and we feed. As a secondary question, aside from this, I was also asked about how we click for movement behaviours. And I know that this person clicks and then carries on. And when they stop, they feed. Now, again, that's perfectly okay, perfectly logical. But you need to shape that reinforcement routine. Because otherwise, your horse is going to be real pissed when it thought it was getting some food straight after that click. So as long as you shape that and you teach that as a whole new concept to your horse, of course it's valid. But I generally myself, I do it through chaining behaviours pretty quickly so that I might have a walk on followed by a halt. And the halt effectively marks the walk. But then you need to come on a course with me and learn all about chaining because that's quite involved to do in just a very short podcast. So for the questioner, who I haven't named because they didn't know they were going to have their question answered on a podcast, but hopefully they'll know who they are and I will share this with them. But remember, everything we do needs to be taught from scratch. Don't assume your horse has some knowledge about how food comes because the reason they're anxious and dropping in the first place is often because they don't understand those first principles. Get your first principles right, get your basics right, and lots follows on. I hope you're enjoying the summer. I hope you're having a slightly better one than the one we've had in the UK, well, certainly in July. But the sun is just peeking out and I'm just about to leave for my first client today, so it's all good, and I hope it's all good in your world as well. Please share the podcast. We need this stuff to get out, and I'm very grateful for those of you who do. And remember, if you are a former client, a current client, somebody that's taken a course with me, maybe even just somebody who's listened to my podcast and knows how I work, and you would like to join my Positive Horse Club at Understand Horses, get in touch. You can find it on Understand Horses, but you can't actively join it from there because I'm very, I'm not saying I'm choosy about who joins it, but I don't want the wrong people being part of what is a lovely, friendly group where you get feedback on your training, voiceover feedbacks, and a fantastic community to chat and generally just be a lovely bunch of people. So if you'd like to join that for £29 a month, which is an absolute bargain with the Zooms and all the other information you get, please drop me a line. Until then, happy riding, happy horse time, happy training, whatever it is you do with your horse, have a happy time.